What's up, you guys? Sean Ross at FightfulSelect.com. Q&A time. Let's go ahead and get it started. Anakin says, with AEW figures and title belts being available in Walmart and other retail stores, has there been talk of getting other merchandise, such as shirts, in retail stores? I haven't heard of any progress on that. It's hard enough for them to keep the actual AEW figures stocked at department stores, from what I understand. They don't have much trouble with the rings and the title belts, but the actual figures are tough to keep stocked there. They sell very, very well. As far as shirts, I haven't heard anything like that. WWE hasn't had that type of distribution either, but you never know. Walmart had Champion a few years ago. That's one of the reasons why Champion stuff was so readily available. They brought back starter jackets like 10 years ago. You never know. They got And One in their stores. FUBU is in their stores now. You never know what's going to pop up in Walmart stores. So I would imagine it's a possibility, but I haven't heard of any discussions. Leon says, any updates on if WWE has offered contracts to Owens, Gargano, and O'Reilly? No word on contract offers as of yet. Sergio says, likely landing spot for Filthy Tom, AEW, or New Japan? Well, he's already got a track record in New Japan with New Japan Strong, so I would imagine that he'll continue to work there. Who do you see WWE picking up from Ring of Honor, if any? I think they'd be interested in Roxy, Shane Taylor Promotions, SOS especially, probably the Briscoes. You would think Chris Dickinson, but they've never brought him in yet, so I think those are the main ones that we would look at and say, yeah, they'll probably get signed. David says, does AEW plan to take a holiday break from Dynamite the week of Christmas? I have not heard anything about this, but I know that as far as the travel that I've asked for AEW, some of them don't know yet either. So it's not a situation where they're expecting to. They don't have anything announced for that week as of yet. They're going to be in Garland, Texas the week before. I'd imagine they're going to film quite a bit of content there, as well as Long Island. I would imagine they're going to take advantage and put a lot of stuff in the can pretty soon. Dusty says, was Miro the only choice replacing Moxley? Was anyone else considered, even if you can't name names? I haven't heard of anyone else considered. I'm sure other ideas went through Tony Khan's mind. From what I understand, he had another obligation. Miro wasn't even going to be there yesterday, and then he got brought in from his other obligation and was there within like maybe a couple or a few hours before the show, and they did it. I would imagine that coming off the run that he had, he was always the prime pick, but that's just my hunch. Lord Zypher says, if Finn Balor's contract ended tomorrow, would you prefer to see him in WWE or go to AEW? I'd prefer to see him in WWE. I think he works well in WWE. He's the type of performer that they like there. But yeah, Sean Garner says, should WWE start pushing more stars like Liv Morgan that are younger? Yes, they should. They need more fresh stars. They need to protect more people. They don't protect anybody, and that's a big problem. When they do get protected, like a Damian Priest, they're slotted in the U.S. title scene, and that's cool. And then when they break through, they need to be valid, actual contenders for titles. Nobody really seems like a threat. You can almost predict when people are going to win the top titles, and that is a little annoying because it's repetitive in that nature. Now, every wrestling program is going to be repetitive in nature to some degree. There's only so many things that you can do, but when nobody feels special, nothing is special. And I think they've done a really good job with Damian Priest, as I mentioned. They've done a good job with Big E of late. They've done a great job with Roman Reigns over the past 15, 16 months. They need to do a good job with other people. They need to do a good job with Bianca Belair after her title loss. There's a lot of people that they need to just do better with, make them feel special. Because they are special. It's not hard. Ella says, updates on Mercedes working or potentially signing with Impact. Is it part-time or full-time? It's part-time as far as I understand. I did ask Impact about this, and they're like, oh, well, she's our top contender, so of course she's going to be on the roster page. But I have not heard of her signing a full-time deal as of yet, and I did ask last week. Shay says, do you think Bray Wyatt debuts as Wyndham in AEW or Impact? I don't think he's going to Impact, and that's about all the detail I have on that. Eric says, any news on a new FTW championship? Ricky Starks said he wanted to defend it as an open challenge. Or any new news on an FTW championship? No, I mean, I think it's pretty telling that people consistently ask about Ricky Starks' health status because he doesn't wrestle or perform that much. I think that's more of a condemnation on AEW's use of him of late than it is Ricky, because Ricky Starks is amazing. But you got a lot of hours, man. Get him on screen doing something besides announcing every once in a while. Why have the FTW title there if you're not going to use it? Ian says, have you heard anything about Asuka? She's injured. That's about all I got. Injured and not assigned to a brand right now. They're going to evaluate that situation whenever she comes back and put her on whatever brand she needs to be. Reed says, do you think Tom Lawler ends up going to AEW, involved with ATT somehow? I think they should have him at least for a few appearances to see if they like what he's doing. Matt and Caleb Graham says, any chance Ricky Shane Page has been signed to an AEW contract, or is he on AEW TV by single appearances only? He does not have a full-time deal with AEW. Zach says, Sean, any thoughts on who headlines the 2022 Hall of Fame? Feels like Taker's year due to being in Texas. Yeah, I think that's the right move to make. The Undertaker in Texas makes a lot of sense to me. These are all my hunches, assumptions, etc., etc. If I were WWE, I'd get the hell over it and put in Demolition. I think putting in, like, Great Muta would be a good idea. William Regal would be a good idea as well. I think those are some of the good options there. Also, WWE has this super long deal with Undertaker that I've mentioned in the past. Like, they signed a 15-year deal with him. And as a result, they're doing, like, The Last Ride, which was really good. They did the Netflix movie with New Day. They did his big retirement thing. You know, he did a bunch of media as a part of the deal. So, I mean, this is a natural part of that. You get more content out of The Undertaker to justify that deal, which is, honestly, it is a services rendered deal. That is the type of deal you put somebody on, like what Undertaker's on, like what Ric Flair was on. They weren't paying him that amount of money to pop up next to Charlotte every so often. Anthony says, given the long pay-per-view break coming up for AEW, do you think any titles will change hands between Full Gear and Revolution? Yes, I do. I never liked that big long break, but they're going to do like that special in January that Andrew Zarian broke the news of. Joel says, do you honestly think Kyle O'Reilly stays in WWE? It seems as if this thing with Wagner is a short, there's a long-term angle, but obviously that wouldn't be possible if he leaves next month. I'd be shocked if this direction is what kept him there. I think he'll probably leave. Danny says, do you know why AEW passed on Lady Frost? She has a unique look and can obviously wrestle well. I don't know why. I mean, they last took a look at her about a year ago, but it's pretty well done. She's going to Impact Wrestling. I think they finalized it. Jake says, predictions for the insane UFC card this weekend. We will be doing a Fightful Fight Night watch-along for probably a bunch of this card, I would imagine. I don't know how much Steven's going to do, but I'm going to pop on there as well. Please join us for those, guys. We have catered our MMA coverage to a more casual fan, so we're doing watch-alongs for the big, big fights. But I have Vera over Edgar, and I think that's going to be close. Edgar could win that. Really, really easily. I've got Gaethje over Chandler, and I've got Rose over Weili Zhang. I've got Usman over Covington. What a rad card. Even like the early fights, you've got Ally Quinta, you've got John Vellante, a lot of good names on there as well. Ivanov says, do you see Battle of the Belts being filmed in a large arena? Do you think they should do so for their big TV episodes and pay-per-views? I think they should, and I think they will. I think they'll probably try to aim for 14, 15,000. Sean, any updates on Elias, Cross, and Riker? I just remembered how they pushed him recently, being referring to Riker. No, nothing. No great updates there. As of the time I'm filming this, and 1:30 p.m. Eastern is when I'm filming this, and that's really about all I can say about that. What is the status of Timothy Thatcher? I mean, he hasn't wrestled in months. They had said that like he was indefinitely sidelined or something like that, and I don't know necessarily what that means, but he's not wrestled since August. But that's the last I'd heard, and I haven't heard much of anything else. Jorge Saldivar says, should Hangman kick out of the One-Winged Angel, and will he? Yes, and yes, he should. Like, that is the culmination. You make them think, oh no, he's not going to win it, and then he kicks out. Patrick Henson says, how big a deal is WWE parting ways with Stan Stansky? How important was he to the company and their day-to-day operations? So, I mean, this is a very much a moving in a different direction type of thing. He's been there for a very, very long time. I mean, he's their senior VP of creative services. He's been with WWE for like 15 years, I think. And I think he's been in an executive role in creative services for that long. I mean, he's been their senior VP of creative services for about 10 years. So this is pretty interesting. He is basically the manager for the creative look across all the WWE stuff, like how it looks on the branding and how it looks visually. There's like the marketing of TV shows and I think pay-per-views as well. Even down to live events, stuff like that. Associated events, like he sort of leads the creative charge in that sense. I know he had some stuff to do with WWE Studios. I don't know how much, though. But, I mean, he had his hand in a whole lot of different things, and he had been there for a very, very long time. I don't know if it's a gigantic deal for the on-screen anymore. I mean, sometimes companies just go in a different direction. This wasn't like a giant bloodletting, from what I understand. It was under 10 people. You hate to see anybody lose their job, though. I hate to hear that. That sucks. Linnea says, Ticketmaster sending out emails offering 4 for $3 for the Raw taping at UBS. How are sales going? Is this a trend at other arenas? Sometimes it is. Sometimes it happens with other arenas, but it usually happens when tickets aren't moving well. As of October 31st, WWE Raw had moved 58% of their tickets for, I think they had sold 4,200. This is from WrestleTix on Twitter. Great account if you guys want to check this out. So they had moved 4,200 tickets for 58%. AEW had moved 7,900 tickets for 80%. AEW is in a higher capacity venue and has really blown WWE out of the water in that sense. I mean, AEW is a hotter ticket right now, and there's no way you can spin that. There's just no way you can. Big events like the Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, they're still going to move. But when you do a comparable show, you do AEW Dynamite, WWE Raw, same market. I mean, we're talking like a couple weeks apart, less than that. And AEW is later in the schedule. They're getting blown out of the water. With FTR and Tully's involvement in the Cody feud, as well as the previous friction between Cody and Arn, could this lead to Arn turning on Cody? This is something we spoke about on the Wednesday night post-show. I hope so. I really want Arn, Tully, bring in Barry Windham, bring in Sid, bring in anybody that was a horseman. Cody is a Rhodes. He will never be a horseman. No matter how much he romanticizes it and he wants to be a horseman, he is a Rhodes. He will never be a horseman. Hey, Sean, appreciate all your work. Do you know anything about when David Finlay and Jay White's New Japan deals are up? This is an assumption based on Juice Robinson's deal. I assume David Finlay's deal is up January 31st. I do not know. I cannot like accurately report that, so to speak. Jim says, do you think KO will stay in WWE or will he leave? I think it's about 60-40 he stays. Nicholas says, Sean, you don't have to say any names, but is there anyone planning on not re-signing with AEW when their contracts expire? I have not heard of anyone that has outwardly told me they are not re-signing. Now, there are people in almost every other company that have told me that about their companies, but AEW roster plays that a little closer to the vest. Dracula says, I might be in the minority, but I feel Scarlett could be better utilized in a different role than Karrion's silent valet. Is she still being planned for a solo run on the main roster? They were testing her out for one, and then she got sidelined for whatever reason. I don't know what that reason is, but she stopped doing dark matches. They brought in a replacement. I think she's best used as Cross's valet, though. Ethan says, any word on if The Rock will be at Survivor Series or any Mania plans for him and Roman? No, I have not heard that. I know that WWE wanted that, but what they want and what they get aren't always the same. Oh, also, the Switchblade thing. Forgot to answer that earlier. 2025 is when he claims his deal is up with New Japan. Haven says, how are you feeling today, Sean? Overwhelmed. Wading through some news. Very overwhelmed. Greg says, which wrestling company do you believe is the best fit for Chris Hero when he's ready to return to in-ring competition as well as continuing behind the scenes? New Japan Strong. I think New Japan and New Japan Strong would be the best approach for him. And I think he'd do great stuff there and help a lot of people. Aussie Dan says, with Kyle's contract ending in December, would WWE go to similar lengths as they did with Cole and offer him a main roster deal? Does the situation with Ring of Honor affect anything with how the influx of available talent adjusts negotiations? I don't think it changes negotiations. I do think they'll offer Kyle O'Reilly a main roster spot. I think they'll offer Johnny Gargano a main roster spot as well. TPA says, with Mox out of the tourney due to more than understandable reasons, do you know if he was supposed to win the tourney or Danielson? I don't know if that was relayed. It wasn't relayed to people backstage that I talked to. Anything new on Triple H? I just heard he's progressing well. When and where do I think that Wyndham shows up? I think he shows up in Hollywood. I think he's doing movies and he'll take wrestling deals whenever they come, if he likes them. But I think he's probably heading to Hollywood. Cameron says, when Tony D'Angelo wins the NXT championship, will Alex and Kate's post-show go 5 hours? If Tony D'Angelo does win the NXT title, I will let them stream as long as they want. Joe says, can you do anything about websites that report your exclusive news right after you post it? I mean, if they're respectful, they wait a good 20, 30 minutes or so, but that's not the nature of this. And I wish I could keep all of our news like that, but that's not realistic. And I've been an aggregator before, and our site aggregates stuff. It's just the nature of news. We hope that when you support us, you realize that you are creating a better quality of life for our writers. This is not a job that you get rich at, and they work very hard. I know that that is something that a lot of people don't think. They don't think that people that write about wrestling work hard, but our staff really does. So whenever you subscribe, that is you investing in us, and I really mean it when I say I appreciate that. And that's why I constantly want to add content to Fightful Select, whether it be podcasts, whether it be additional stuff, early access, whether it be news. We try to give you as much as we possibly can for as little money as you possibly can. That way you all see that it's worth it. It's worth it to invest in us over doing the other stuff. So what are we going to do? Like, sue somebody for it? News isn't copyrighted. If they're going out of their way to undermine us, we'll have a chat with them and stuff. But I mean, as long as they link and source and all that stuff, and you know, be a little respectful towards what we're trying to do and the quality of life we're trying to give our writers, who gives a shit? Not much we can do there. Going Broadway says, any news you've heard over ROH over the last week of ROH talent signing with other companies? No, I mean, they were discussing it amongst themselves backstage, but that, like, most of these people are still under deals. They're still getting paid. Colin McCurt says, what are the chances Okada and Ospreay appear for AEW in the next 6 months? Any known plans behind the scenes? I haven't heard of any plans behind the scenes. I would say fat chance for Okada. He's got Wrestle Kingdom coming up. I don't think New Japan will risk it. Ospreay, I think, is a little more likely, but not that likely. Jeremy says, in your opinion, how soon would you realistically expect to see released ROH talent on AEW or WWE? January, for some. Xantheus says, we're going to super chat this into yesterday's Listen You Boy, but I didn't catch it live, so I'll try it here. Heard you and Jimmy reference a nasty letter Jimmy got out of the blue from Cornette. What's the story behind that? If you don't want to go into the whole story, you can point me to the episode where you and Jimmy talked about it. Well, I don't have to point you to the episode. What I'll do is I'll link the video in the description of this post. So, I mean, Fightful's been around for over 5 years now, and sometimes, despite our numbers growing massively since then, I forget that all of you all haven't been around for that long, or haven't even been around for 3 months or 3 years. So, the Listen, Ya Boy has been around since, like, December 2016, roughly, and Jimmy would try some off-the-wall things to get us attention. One time, we had Russo host a show, and that didn't work out. We used to have Shane Helms and Riddle and Elias Theodoru, Frank Trigg, Sean Pearson. We honestly had a lot of really good personalities that hosted shows on Fightful. And we would have Wrestlers write for us as well, which we kept and did with the Wrestlers Tribune. But we would always be thinking of new content ideas because at that time, I didn't have as many inside connections as I do now. So you got to try to do anything to get reputable. Oh, and I say that loosely in this story, reputable attention. So Jim Cornette and Vince Russo have always been at each other's throats, et cetera, et cetera. And obviously there is some morbid curiosity as to what the hell would happen if you got them in a room together. Well, Jim Cornette told us what would happen if we got them in a room together because Jimmy Van was offering to do a debate. Now, at the time, Jim lived in Louisville. Vince lived in, like, Indiana somewhere. I'm not too far from any of them. The idea was pay both of them to do a debate or whatever, talk about things, about wrestling, about their personal issues. We'd film it. We would distribute it or whatever. They didn't get that far. So I can't even remember if Jimmy Van reached out to Vince Russo, but he reached out to Jim Cornette, and Jim Cornette, it was not out of the blue. Like it was not out of the blue at all. This was a response to an email that Jimmy Van sent, an inquiry where he said, "Hey, I don't know what this would cost, $5,000, $10,000, et cetera, but here's the plan. Here's the idea. Would love to hear back." And Jim Cornette was like, "I can't even usually respond to this stuff, but I just had to because I wanted you to know how much of an idiot you are if you think that $10,000 is enough for me to be anywhere near Vince Russo besides doing anything besides bashing his head in with a bat into grape jelly or something like that. I can't do it justice. I can't possibly relay the shit that he said. I can't possibly do it." The clip is below. We're starting to post a lot of our clips on the Fightful Scraps page. So subscribe to youtube.com/Fightful Scraps. We got interview clips, show clips, stuff like that. But it was not out of the blue. In no way. We used to do like a lot of skits and stuff before my work schedule got even crazier than it is now. And that was just one of those things we were gonna try to do. And I'm so fucking glad that it didn't happen. Sorry, I know that was a bit of word soup there, but man, I can't possibly explain that. Challenge Mania says, "What city do you see getting a February Revolution pay-per-view for AEW if you had to make an early prediction?" If I were them, I'd go back to St. Louis. I would run St. Louis. But I mean, they're getting Punk and Kingston, so that's pretty wild. Jordan Lasser said, "What was 2K's reaction to all the superstar releases? Were they mad?" It was very frustrating based on those that I spoke to. They put a lot of work into this game and trying to make sure that it didn't suck. And oh, a boy. I mean, they had a terrible game in 2019. They knew it was going to be dog shit. They knew it was. And by that, I mean the 2K20 game that came out in 2019. They canceled 2020. They don't have a game this year. They got to wait until next year for it. And it's constant releases and frustration. And a lot of the release wrestlers that I talk to are like, "Hell, go ahead, keep me in the game. Give me that check." Dev says, "Who do you think will be positioned to be the next first time ever women's champion in WWE? Ooh, that's a good question. Gosh, I think at this stage it's probably going to be Raquel going up to the main roster and doing it. I think that she'll probably get sent up there for WrestleMania season. I think she eventually wins it. Jeremy says, "What's up, SRS, Lady Frost, and Victor Benjamin? At one point, we're in the ROH dojo, and then poof, they were gone. wondering if you knew what happened. Well, I do, because I just filmed an interview with Lady Frost that should go up right after Full Gear, and we talk about that. So there you go. Oscar says, as the New Japan AEW crossover kind of fizzled out, was hoping after Suzuki that Jay White, Ospreay, Okada, Tanahashi, or Ibushi would show up. Well, I mean, that hasn't been that long, but for now it has, but that can ramp up any time that they need it. JJ says, last week you were explaining your daily job life, which involved you making sure Jeremy and Joe didn't get you kicked off of YouTube. What's the most OMG you've felt when watching The Distraction? It wasn't when I was watching The Distraction. It's when I was told that Jeremy was going to show ass cheeks on the air. That was the most. Yeah, that was. And then, fortunately, we came to a compromise because I didn't know what the hell he was going to do. Ben says, after the beating it took thanks to COVID at NXT UK forming, are you getting any optimism from within the wrestling world about the UK independent scene recovering? Nope, not a bit of it. And it is a bummer. I don't think it's going to recover for a while. I think it eventually does recover. Dave says, any word on Lance Archer? Did he get injured during that moonsault or was it a close call? All I know is that he was up and laughing and joking, walking under his own power, and he was going to get checked out after that. He's been active on social media since then. Seems in good spirits. I don't know about the severity of the injury, though. Sheila says, what's your take on AEW and Punk addressing Mox last night? Do you think they need to say exactly what he's out for, rehab, alcohol, or addiction, or do they think the fans generally know? I think they know, the fans generally know, once Tony Khan announced it, but I think a big part of this was destigmatizing getting help and letting people know that you need help. It's okay to need help. There's no shame in that, and it should be encouraged. So, you know, it's hard for me to say because it's not my personal business, and I like to keep my personal business very, very personal, but I'm not Jon Moxley. Jon Moxley, who has lived in the spotlight for a very, very long time, and he and his family have dealt with some really weird people in their days. Like, you never know what they want to keep out there and want to keep private. But if he's okay with it, then I can't not be okay with it. And I'm sure he'll talk about that in time. But I like the idea of taking somebody who is idolized by many and is willing to admit that they have a problem and that they're going to do what they can to fix it. That way they don't turn into a dark side of the ring story that we're talking about and saying, man, it's tragic that this happened. It's sad that this happened. This is him getting ahead of things and doing the right thing. And I'm sure this is going to motivate many other people to do that, to get the help that they need. And if you can help somebody, you help somebody. Brian says, heard anything about Samoa Joe returning to NXT as a wrestler on air personality? The plan is still for him to return as a wrestler, yes. Jonathan says, what is the news about the ROH film library? Well, I'm going to run that right after I post this show. So I asked Kerry Silken about the ROH film library because there were rumors. There were rumors, oh, well, Kerry owns part of it. ROH owns the other half or whatever. No, Sinclair owns it all. They own it all. Completely. McNally says, are you a voter for the Observer Hall of Fame? What's your opinion on the award? So last year was my first time being sent a ballot, and I did not vote. Now, I'll clarify that. I wasn't super familiar with the qualifications for the Observer Hall of Fame. So super flattered by the invite. Glad that I got one. Glad I got one this year. But I wanted to take last year to really kind of look at the qualifications and for their Hall of Fame. I'm voting for somebody else's Hall of Fame. So I did not vote last year. I will vote this year. What is my opinion on the award? I mean, sure. Why not? I mean, it is, the Observer is a publication and a website that paved the way for what I'm doing now. And I have an incredible amount of respect for Dave and for Brian and for the people that have worked there. And not just them, people like Josh Nason and Brian Rose and Tom Lawler, who do work there, Garrett Gonzalez, Mike Snipervivi. Like, I have spoken with all of those people and really like them personally. So I think a lot of the people that worked there, and of course Denise. So it was very flattering to even get the offer to vote in that. It meant an awful lot to me. Paul says, back in 2016, ROH had O'Reilly win the title from Adam Cole at Final Battle, but less than a month later, he dropped it back to him at Wrestle Kingdom and then was done with the company. I've always been curious, did ROH put the title on him at Final Battle in hopes of convincing him to re-sign? Or was it more of a thanks for everything you've done gesture? 3-week title reigns in ROH don't usually happen, so it seemed weird. This is me thinking. I think it was a little bit of both. Like, maybe he'll see, maybe he'll stay. But it didn't happen. TKO Boy says, do you think Gargano leaves WWE? He's more likely to show up in AEW, or would he get more of a run on the indies and sign with an Impact or MLW? I think he'll go to AEW. Nikolai says, do you see Rick Abani finding his way to AEW in some capacity? It'd be a shame if ROH ending was the last we heard of him on commentary. I think he should. I think if he had more of their excitable style, I mean, sometimes when the action is quiet around the ring, he has a habit of getting quiet, which some people like, some people don't like. I think he'd be great there. They need some more straight play-by-play guys. They got Taz, they've got Shivani, they've got JR, they've got all these people that have done play-by-play that lean more into color as well. Brady says, is there any update on Grand Metal Leak after he seemingly asked for his release? No, but I will have an update on Lucha House Party in general. RC's says, good morning, Sean. Thoughts on Speedball Mike Bailey signing with Impact? He is beloved in wrestling. A lot of people like him. A lot of people like Veda. Long overdue. I'm sure that everybody wishes this would have happened sooner, but I'm glad that it happened. He did have some talks with other companies, from what I understand. But he's really good. So many people are influenced by Speedball Mike Bailey. He was a part of that, like, just blossoming PWG scene when it was white hot. So I'm really, really glad that he can finally come back to the States and work legally. It's been almost 6 years, man. And, I mean, he was having great matches with, like, Evil Uno and Adam Cole and Kenny Omega. A lot of these people that are in AEW now killing it, Speedball Mike Bailey was having unbelievable matches with 5, 6, 7 years ago. And he's still a relatively young guy. He's 31. He is going to impress a whole lot of people in Impact. Guys, thank you all so much. I really appreciate all of you. I encourage people to sign up. Again, we always have a lot of subs that fall off at the end of the month. So help us. Help us march back towards 4,000. I'd really like to break the record again this month, but you never know. But thank you all so much. You all mean so much to me. We're out.